The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
There we go! There's the mark of the year!
Joining me now in the studio is Channel 7 Sports' Mark Reddings. Hey, Skeet, was there any sport over the weekend?
It was extraordinary, wasn't it? And I don't think we could look back with anything but pride and excitement. And you just have to almost pinch yourself to think, did we put on that show? And it was just a terrific weekend, albeit coming from the position that we are. We know the weather's out of our control, but that was perfect. We thought the pre-game entertainment, halftime, I think, gets a tick, given limited resources. The match itself, even though it was a margin over 70 points, I think most people would agree it was gripping. And the Melbourne element, the fairy tale coming true, I don't think you could ask for much more. And so, yeah, look, it's interesting now, isn't it? The dust has just settled. I spoke to a couple of AFL officials straight after the match, and I said, do you know the debate, the discussion is going to come? They said, yep, absolutely, with regards to Perth or other cities hosting a grand final down the track. I think the Gabba last year we all recognised was a necessity, and they put on a good show given the circumstances. The Gabba's not a great venue.
It was only half full because of COVID.
And the Brisbane Lions, they needed them to be in there almost to create a buzz in the city. They're an NRL heartland. We are an AFL mainstay, and so that's what made this. I think they were surprised, the AFL, by the numbers at the prelim finals, the number of people that attended all of these events. And I think they maybe just underestimated, thinking that Perth, very parochial as we are, but Western Australians also love their footy and big events. And that was the overriding emotion for me, was that we've proved that we are in this AFL competition to go and watch the best teams, not just a West Coast Fremantle scenario.
Yeah, and the ratings were spectacular as well for the game. The stadium looked so good, and we were both there, and don't you reckon it was, the atmosphere was electric before the game, and I think it was clear that the Demons were the sentimental favourite of the majority in the crowd. Everyone loves a fairy tale, but let's just talk through how that game unfolded. So the first quarter, it looked like the Demons were running away with it.
Yep, they certainly had the Bulldogs on the back foot, and the quarter time arrival was perfect for the Bulldogs to reset, and then they came out, Bontempelli, Treloar, kicking goals, and they grabbed themselves a slender lead at half-time. By no means did you think the Dogs were home, but the game had changed complexion, and Melbourne didn't take their opportunities. Just as in the first quarter, the Bulldogs turned the ball over quite a lot to give Melbourne their chance to score. The third quarter, this was the extraordinary term, probably the season, where the Bulldogs were pressing, got 19 points in front.
Yeah, with 10 minutes to go, probably about 10 minutes to go in the third quarter, Doggies up by 19 points. And at that point, I thought, oh, this is done.
Well, not done, but it was a case of, we were sitting commentating for radio, and it was a case of, look, if they get another goal here, it's going to be awfully tough to drag it back. What happened from there is just remarkable. It started off with a beautiful kick by Harms inside 50 to Fritsch, who kicked his goal to just start the momentum. He, of course, finished with six goals. But from a point in that third quarter, Melbourne scored 100 points, or 101 points, to the Bulldogs 7 for the rest of the game.
Isn't that just insane? Like, has there ever been a turnaround like that? Like, 100 points? And when you consider they were, 19 points down, to then win by 70, and in the space of, really, a quarter and a little bit, it's just phenomenal. And I reckon at that 10 minutes to go in the third quarter, I'd probably penciled in the Bont as the Norm Smith medalist.
Absolutely, we all had. And by the 10-minute mark of the last, we'd penciled in Petrarca as the Norm Smith medalist. He was terrific. They had so many great moments. And for those long-suffering supporters, I'd imagine there'd be nothing better. And we're all savouring, we're all barracking for them. Well, I certainly was. That last 10 or 15 minutes when you know you are home, to just savour it and not be anxious, not be like, say, an Eagle supporter in 2018 where you didn't know whether you're going to win or lose. That was the beauty of Saturday night for the Demon supporters. They could sit back, albeit lots of them, our heart goes out to them, they've waited so long to watch their team live win a flag, had to do it on TV. But it may signal the start of a pretty good little spell for Melbourne with their age demographic and what they have in their list already. It could be hopefully some more silverware for them going forward.
Yeah, you'd have to think they will, you know, it seems like an obvious thing, but not every premier starts the next season as the favourites. But I reckon Melbourne are rightly favourites going into next year, and why wouldn't they be there again on the last Saturday in September?
Yeah, that being said, I said to you on the last time we spoke, I think Melbourne will win. They'll win comfortably. Once a game breaks open, the other team, you break their spirit and they
rip
fall
their heart out.
Similarly, a team that wins a flag, say, after 57 years, it will take them the best part of 2 to 3 months to get back on track. I'm telling you.
Well, look what happened to the Doggies a couple of years ago. They went into the wilderness after that flag.
When you say wilderness, they certainly didn't challenge again the next year. I don't think that is beyond the realms that Melbourne slips a bit, just because it's like you've been to the buffet. You've had all the food you can have, and then you're asked for another serve. Look, that's human nature. You try to achieve, you get there. Your hunger can't be as strong the following year. Maybe I'll be proven wrong, but look, I wouldn't expect Melbourne to be guaranteed to get back to the top next year. They've got the talent. But whether things have to go your way.
Well, based on how I woke up on Sunday morning, and considering they're probably going to be waking up like that for the next month, it'd be tough. Well, the other teams, I guess, are getting into their preseason.
Yeah, speaking of which, the market grounds in the city were the venue of the boys, and Maxi Gorn wore his boots in afterwards, and they took over the market grounds. In fact, they took over the Optus Stadium inside the centre of the ground. They were singing their songs. Everyone had gone home. They were there till midnight. Of course, they were at the, I think, the OBH or the Cot yesterday, but they certainly had a
Sunday sesh.
Well, I think the Bulldogs were either at the Cot, the other mob, Melbourne, at the OBH. So they were both within about 5 minutes of each other. So those celebrations continue. And I guess the problem is when they go home, they have to
go into lockdown.
So obviously you've got family and friends you'd love to see, but hopefully those restrictions in Melbourne are easing shortly and that can change. Speaking of Sunday morning, just quickly, I had a big day yesterday at the Waffle, which probably was the last thing I needed, but it was a great day of footy, although a bit scary. I did the Colts for thewest.com.au with Jordan McArdle, and at quarter time, as I was going to get a drink of water just to rehydrate after what was a great night at Optus Stadium, massive lightning strike, and the game had to be suspended for about an hour because it essentially felt like it hit us over the right shoulder. So that was extraordinary. That certainly woke us up on the Sunday morning. And then, of course, South Fremantle through to their third consecutive Waffle Grand Final.
And who are they playing?
They're playing Subiaco on Saturday after beating Claremont by 11 points. The Tigers didn't score a goal, their first goal, until the last quarter. They stormed home, kicked 4 unanswered goals, but too little too late. So the Bulldogs and Subiaco in the Waffle Grand Final are the Festival of Footy. We've got the Sandover Medal tomorrow night. We're all looking forward to the end of it because footy fatigue, as much as we love it, it's going to be October. Then what happens after footy finishes? I don't know.
Cricket?
Does life go on? We
eventually have to start talking about cricket. And so who do you like in the Waffle decider?
I think Subiaco. They've just got and South Fremantle a bit banged up. They've got some bodies.
Did Subi miss the finals?
Subi missed last year. Only 8-game season. So I think you can wipe that. I think normal transmission resumes. Subiaco wins the flag. And as I said, footy finishes essentially next Saturday for us. And then I'll go and reintroduce myself to my wife.
Did you cast your eye over the... I'm sure Victoria will be like, hang on, who's this bloke? And so did you cast your eye over the NRL? Did you get a chance to see that?
Didn't see it, but...
I watched a little bit of Storm v Panthers.
Penrith, yeah.
Before the GF, I was at Nowhere Man in Leederville. They had that on the big screen there. And even though the Storm were overwhelming favourites to beat the Panthers, it just didn't start off well. The signs were always there for an upset.
Penrith's defence is outstanding. Oh. So it's them against South Sydney. Of course, for those that don't follow NRL, it's Russell Crowe's Rabbitohs. Yeah. And with that, Wayne Bennett, who's such a famous coach
as
in
a
NRL.
Queenslander. So the Rabbits are now going to be my team.
Yeah, well, you and I are probably both watching it on Sunday. That's the end of the footy codes, in essence, for the season. So those two teams going at it, and of course Saturday afternoon Subi v South Fremantle. So extraordinary weekend, and I reckon on behalf of every West Australian, we were just so proud to be a part of a bit of history here in the West.
Yep, here. Well, Mark Reddings, thanks for joining me in the studio. We'll chat to you again on Monday.
Thanks, Benny.